Hey, if you brought your Bibles here this morning, I want you to turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, and we're going to look at verse 21. We're also going to look at other scriptures, so if you're following along with us on the app, we have all those scriptures for you already plugged into that app on the follow along with the message, and we got them for you on the screen. So I know sometimes the lighting here in this auditorium doesn't give way to being able to see paper Bibles that well, but we got it for you on the screen so you can follow along. It says this, Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much just for who you are, your word that we get to read, celebrate, and live out. Lord, when we do that, I pray your word would just come to life in our lives. And God, guide me every word I speak, every single one, that they would be echoes of what you're saying to us, your people, here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're just joining us here at Journey, we are currently talking about how to find your moon. You know, everybody has a moon, like NASA. That was their goal. That was their dream, to get to the moon. And they arrived at it in July of 1969. It was an amazing, amazing footprint that was put on the surface of the moon. And so we're talking about a series on placing your footprint on the surface of your dreams. What is your moon? What is your dream? How do you get to the point when you're looking through the telescope of life and you see all of these things, all of these options, this vast menu of opportunity? How do you get to the point of looking through all of what life offers and know, there it is. There is my moon. That is my destiny right there. I was created to go there. How do you know the purpose of your life? What is your moon? How do you discover your dream? And we talked 2 weeks ago about the need to do that. The way to do that is to first identify your passions. Because if you can identify your passions, you'll begin to uncover your purpose. But we also talked about, you know, if you could put my sheet up there, JJ, you know, like these are the passions that I wrote down. We gave a sheet out to everybody, you know, and we asked you to write your passions down. And this is mine. And many of these passions have been in my life for a long time. These are the passions that come buoying up to the surface of my life on what I love to do and what I love to be a part of. And we talked about, you know, that's good. But we need to begin to understand, what gifts do I have that can hold my passion? Because how many know there's a difference between being passionate about something and being gifted for that passion? In other words, if you're in your 40s and you have a passion to be the starting point guard for the Chicago Bulls, you know what? That's awesome that you got that passion, but you may not have the gift, right? Let's just say it. You don't have the gift, all right? And so, and to help find that out, to help connect the passions and the gifts together, it's important to pray. Take your passions and take your gifts through the filter of prayer. And also create around you an inner circle of people who will tell you the truth, that have your best interests at heart, that will tell you what you need to hear instead of what we want to hear all the time. So we certainly pray and hope that you have been and are still praying, taking your passions and your gifts through the filter of prayer. And we certainly pray and hope that you are still creating and have been creating an inner circle around your dream. Because today I'm going to share my final thoughts on how to discover your moon, how to discover your dream. And I didn't want a pulpit. I wanted a stool here with the few notes that I have. And so I've got four final thoughts here. I kind of sound like Jerry Springer, you know. These are my final thoughts. Take care of yourself and each other. Amen. But here's my first final thought. It's this, that our dreams and passions can be uncovered through pain. Dreams and passions can be uncovered and discovered through pain. You know, I've met people before that had cancer, and through the chemotherapy and through the radiation and through the facilities and the staff and the nurses and the team of people that exists to help bring that person healing, to help bring that person comfort through that painful time. I've seen people through that come on the other side of it cancer-free, and out of it, they came out also with a passion to want to be one of those people. Like, they were so ministered by the people that they it's just like, man, I want to do that to help other people that have been through what I'm going through. I've met people that have become nurses because of how they felt and how they were treated in a painful moment of their time while they were in a hospital. I've met people that you know, I'm a pastor. I'm a student of people. I love to study people. I've seen people that have experienced abuse in their life, like neglectful tragedy in their past, and they couldn't get through it or over it, but yet they sought psychological help, and psychologists have been so instrumental in helping them. People that have studied the mind and patterns and trends of how our mind works, and they've helped them, and I've seen them come out of that help going, man, I want to be that. I want to, and it took that painful season to almost uncover those passions, and they discovered their purpose. They discovered a dream that they didn't know was there. Reminded of legends like Martin Luther King Jr., who said what? What's his famous statement? I have a dream. How many know that dream wasn't created off of the wings of convenience? That dream was born from a painful, unjust time, where our nation is scarred with the disgust of racial injustice. Not that it has been eradicated, but friends, he was used to gratefully punch it in the eye and bring it down in multiple ways. Thank God for him and the passion that was uncovered when he saw time, when he saw a need, and a dream was born there. I want us to know that. That's very important that we see that, because I don't want you to, you know, it's a weird motto that tragedy often leads to triumph. I mean, it's a weird motto about that, but it's true so many times. Don't disqualify your pain as simply something that just hurts, because God can use anything to uncover passions and reveal in you your purpose, or a major purpose in your life. Your pain can actually open doors, friends. How many know that's true? Number two, dreams and passions are often uncovered through serving. Amen. 10 of you, amen, believe that to be true. It's true, though. Dreams and passions are often uncovered through serving. Serving what? Serving others. You know, you want your dream to come to pass. You want to discover your dream. You want to get to your dream. Then start sowing into the dream of somebody else. If you start sowing into the dream of someone else, God will make your dream happen. And some of you say, oh, that's kind of weird. Well, that's Jesus. He's weird. He does things backwards, right? Because if you want to receive from God, you got to what? Give to God. You want to become the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, you got to become the least in the kingdom of heaven. You want your dream to happen, start sowing into somebody else's dream and watch what he does for you. That's the dream of Scripture, friends, is serving. Matthew chapter 22, you find right there at 36, Jesus is asked by these guys, what is the greatest commandment? What is the greatest thing that's ever come out of the mouth of God? What is it? And Jesus said this in verse 37. He replied, you want to know it? Here it is. Love the Lord your God. How many times have we heard this scripture in church, right? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's the first and greatest commandment. But in verse 39, he says this, and the second, I'm not done, is just like it. Hear me, is just like it. On the same level as. Equal value. Check this out. And it's this. Love your neighbor as yourself. He says in the next verse, I don't get it for you on the screen, but he says in the next verse, all the prophets, the law hangs on these words right here. Start serving the dream of Scripture. If you don't know what your dream is, get busy serving. Get busy serving someone else. Get busy serving friends, and you'll start to see passions uncovered in your life along the way. I can't tell you how many people have been blessed by the outreach efforts of this church, particularly with what we've been doing with the Dream Center. Since we've unleashed outreach efforts in the Dream Center, I mean, I have seen people just through the Adopt-A-Block programs alone tell me, like, thank you guys for opening up these doors for us to serve, because I've started to serve and now I realize this is what I was meant to do with the rest of my life. And they're so excited, and they had no idea what they were supposed to do. They maybe even some of them had an idea, but there was a huge question mark on it. But now they're like, no, now I know. I'm supposed to help people through recovery. I'm supposed to help people through counseling. And people said, I want to go back to school, get my degree, so I can be a part of helping other people. Let me tell you this. I love hearing that. Like Morio Ray yesterday rocked it out at Vandalia Prison. Like he rocked, and he was in the last service, and he asked if he could leave because his boys had football games today and it was scheduled. He's like, can I go? I was like, of course, go, you know. But he rocked it out yesterday as he preached to nearly 1,000 women in that prison. And for those of you that were there, I mean, you know, we were just blown away that this guy can actually preach. Amen. Because he's always so quiet. But you put a microphone in his hand and put 1,000 people around him. You know, it's just like he went to town. Dude was funny. And he was laying it out, and it was crazy. He walked away from the mic, and people stood up. Did they not? Like, they stood up. They're like, oh-hoo-hoo-hoo! Nobody's ever done that to me. I was jealous. Amen. It was crazy. But, you know, it was awesome to see how he was used. And he was so nervous going in because he says, and me and Jamie and him were driving to the prison yesterday morning, and he was just like, and we're like, what's wrong, man? He goes, this is the first time I'll have ever been in prison, a free man. And he started to get real shaky right when we're about to walk in the door, to where Jamie and I had to stop right outside the front door and pray for him. And you could see him react to the sounds of the doors locking when we were going from place to place. But afterwards, I saw him get used by God. And he said to us on the way back, he said, I now know what I was meant to do. But he would have never known that had he not taken the opportunity to serve somebody else. Let me tell you this. All dreams and passions should exist to bless the lives of other people. That's something to write down right there. They should all exist. All dreams, every single one of them, all of our passions, every single one of them should exist to bless the lives of other people, which leads me to point number 3 on my final thought here. Our dreams and passions were not put in us for our own glory. You see, if you've got a passion and your passion exists to bring your name fame, you're not going to receive the assistance of the Almighty. See, I'm not in this to make my name famous. How many know we should be in this to bring His name fame? Amen. We should be in it. So, like, if you've got a heart for singing, like, let your heart for singing be to bless the Lord and to bless the lives of people. Like, that's a great thing. Music is one of the most powerful, influential tools, and God gifts people for that. How many know that should be the heart, though, to bless other people, to give them, because music, how many know it's an escape to our minds? It's a great thing to hear after you've had a stressful week. Music is so awesome. Telling you, and no matter what it is that God has blessed you with, make sure that you are holding that passion accountable to bring His name fame. Because let me tell you this, and this may be a hard statement to hear, but God will burn this church to the ground. God will take me out, and I don't mean just take me out of the room. He'll take me out if I ever start to take credit for what He's doing here at Journey Church. I believe that wholeheartedly. Somebody say, how do you know that? How can you even say that? Because I've read Daniel chapter 4 a lot. it's a scary chapter for leaders. Because Daniel chapter 4 gives highlight to this dude named King Nebuchadnezzar, who was instrumental in the building of the Babylonian kingdom, like absolutely instrumental inside of it. But King Nebuchadnezzar allowed it to get into his head, and he started to make it about him, because he's recorded in verse 30 of Daniel chapter 4 as saying this: "Is not this the great Babylon?" He's frustrated in this moment. "I have built as the royal residence," watch this, "by my mighty power and for the glory of" what? "My majesty." I don't have verse 31, verse 32, or verse 33 on the screen for you. But I want you, if you would, just to keep that up there, JJ, because watch what happens after he says this. Because the very next verse, it says this: "Even as the words were on his lips, a voice came from heaven." Heaven interrupts his statement right here. And check out, this is what the voice says: "This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people," check this out, "and will live with the wild animals. Comma, you will eat grass like the ox. Because I'm sovereign." God says, "I'm the one over all kingdoms on earth, and I give them to anyone I wish." Check this out, verse 33. "Immediately what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people, and he ate grass like the ox. It says his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle, and his nails like the claws of a bird." Are you getting this visual here? Like, you're talking God saying, "You want life without me? Here's what life tastes like without me." He literally went verifiably insane. The king of Babylon is now, the palace went from the palace to the pasture. And he's on his hands and knees, groaning and moaning like an ox eating grass. Can you imagine that? And check out, now we don't know how long he was like that, but verse 34 says this: "At the end of that time," we don't know how long it was, check this out, it says, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored." He looked to where we should all always look. "I have what I have because of you." And he says this, "Then, with restored sanity, realizing what he had lost just in the moment, he said, I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever." See, your dream was not put in you for your glory, but for the glory of God. Amen. And here's my final thought. JJ, if you would put that last point up. Some of you may look at that and go, what does that mean? You don't know what that means, but others of you are seeing it right now, and you know exactly. See, in our journey to discovering our moon, I believe some of you already know what it is. Maybe you've known for a long time. Maybe you knew it early on in your life, what you were created and put here to do, but after that, hell broke loose around your life. After that, challenge after challenge after challenge came in and blew in from the east and the west. After that, distraction came in, relationships came in, blew up and blew out. After that, mountains stood in your way and canyons stood in front of you. And now you've gone through all that and you're unsure if that's what you were still made to do. Can I give you that word here this morning? It's still that. Don't allow painful seasons to become a disqualifier of the dream God has for you. You see, I'm reminded of Joseph, not Joseph and Mary, Joseph back in Genesis. You see, Joseph in Genesis at the age of 17 in chapter 37, verse 5 says, Joseph had a dream. And he has this dream, and it's this dream that leads him to this palace, not for his own glory. It leads him to this palace, this place, this position of influence, this position of authority for him to see what God wants to do through him in the nation. It's a wonderful dream. And he goes and tells his brothers right afterwards, hey, guess what I saw in my dream? And they didn't go, yay! What happened? Not good stuff. Read Genesis 37, 30, 39 to 40. I mean, read that when you get some time this week. Because right after he had the dream, all hell broke loose in his life. He made his way out of the pit that his brothers threw him in. And it says this in verse 20. It says, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison. The place where the king's prisoners were confined. This guy has a dream for the palace, and now his reality is prison. Can I tell you, what a moment to be in. You know, I didn't choose to dream this, God. You're the one that gave it to me, and I haven't done anything wrong. I've been integral. I've stayed faithful. My feet have been steadfast in the direction you've told me to go, and the results, hell has broken loose all around me, and now I sit in a prison cell. Why? You ever been in a quitting point? You ever arrived at a quitting point on the journey to your dream? You see, our dream is filled. Oh, my goodness. The journey to our dream, let me say, is filled with quitting point after quitting point after quitting point. And it had to have been no different for this young man sitting in a prison cell, arriving at a quitting point. And what I love is not just what, it's not really much to love about verse 20, but I love what verse 21 says. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. It says that he showed him kindness and he granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. It takes a little bit for a dream to happen. You see, he had the dream when he was 17, but he wasn't even in a position to fulfill the dream until he was 30. And it wasn't even fulfilled decades after that. It takes time. And through that time, there are quitting points. Let me tell you something. Break through your quitting points. I don't even believe it's a God-sized dream if you don't want to give up and quit. Because if it's a God-sized dream, the dream is bigger than you. And when it's bigger than you, how many know the reality is that I become overwhelmed? I realize my inabilities, and sometimes we start to take credit for it ourselves. And that, well, like it's built on us. And you want to give up, you want to quit. I'm telling you, Journey Church, there have been times in the past of pastoring this great church where I couldn't see an ounce of strength in my life to go on another day. And thought, someone else is better suited to do this than me. I'm talking, I've had the phone, I've had Steve Lumber's number pulled up, and all I gotta do is push call. I've had it in tears where I've called and said, gather the board members and get somebody in here that's better suited than me to do it. My wife can tell you. But I think you understand because you have those quitting points in your life as well. Where people take action against you, where they arrest you with their hate And they arrest you with their bitterness and their criticism and their persecution. And they put you in this prison that I call doubt. And you wonder if you're even meant to keep going. That's why I love that scripture in Genesis with Joseph while he's in a prison. But the Lord was there with him. And I can tell you this. I would not be where I am. And where I am is still here if it wasn't for him who has been with me. My times in prayer have been such a strength for my walk toward the dream he's put in my life. And I can tell you this, I would not be where I am if it were not for people that God has placed around me to be a strength in my life. My kids are They were in the first service. I had Javen come up here in the 9 a.m. service. And this little guy, he's so little and tiny and cute. He's been the same size since he was born. Amen. He's just so cute. But I can say that now that he's gone. Amen. But I was going through a real rough time a couple of years ago. You know, you're just arrested by people's criticism. And you just, how many know we act like we don't take it to heart, but we take it to heart. Rob Bell has a sermon called Death by 1,000 Paper Cuts. And it's a good, good message for leaders. You think people's criticism doesn't bother you, but man, after a while, you got a real problem. I'll probably steal that and preach that message. I shouldn't have given him the credit for that, amen. But I mean, it's just, and I was going through a real rough time. And my son came home from school. And every time he comes home from school, he goes right to his room and he prays and he reads his Bible. No, he doesn't do that. I'm just kidding. He goes right to his room, puts on a headset, and leads nations in Call of Duty. I mean, it's crazy. He's 12 year old kid, like, you with the Gatling gun, blah, blah, blah. He's yelling at everybody. But this time he didn't go right to his room. Like, I was, you know, I'm not like on the couch going, I wasn't that. But I was sitting on the couch and I just, you know, I'm just sitting there and he comes. Right, and sits right next to me, which is really weird that he do this, and he looks at me and he goes, Dad, how are you doing? And it was in that moment where I just want to go, you know, but I didn't. I'm a little emotional sometimes in the house. They understand that I get real weepy at times, but I just said, I'm better now. And he puts his hand on my back, he starts to rub it. And he looks at me and he gets up. And then he goes to lead nations in Call of Duty. But it was in that moment where it was just like, wow, you got such strength. Just in a question and a back rub. You know what I'm saying? My family has been such a strength to me. My staff has been such a strength into my life. This leadership team, selected you guys, many, many people in this church, I mean, through just a phone call or even a text message or a Facebook message or a card or a conversation or a handshake or a meaningful look, it has just been encouraging along the way when you have this God-sized dream in front of you to be able to lean on other people. I feel like I need to share this scripture with somebody in this room. This may not apply to everybody, but this scripture's for somebody. And it's Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3. And it says this, this vision, the dream, the goal, your moon, watch this, it says, is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. But watch me here. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently. For it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. We got to be there for each other in the wait. We got to lean on each other when we're not strong. And you need a friend that can help you carry on. Oh, it's about to get a lot more corny. You have no idea. I mean, no, you need to call on a brother or a sister. When what? When you need a hand. Amen. Now, and you know what else you need to do? Swallow your pride. I don't know the rest. rest of the song, but you know, it's just what you need to do. You know, it's one of those things where we need to be that for each other. Can we be that for each other? Can we be shoulders to lean on? I want us to stand to our feet if we would. This year marks the 20th anniversary of the Dream Center in Los Angeles. The Dream Center that started it all has been happening now for 20 years in Los Angeles. And I just watched the 20th anniversary service, and Matthew Barnett, the pastor, said, here's what we're going to do to close the service. And he goes, we're going to sing Lean On Me like we used to. And he described, he goes, you know, back then when we started, he goes, we would close every service, every single one. They did this for years. They closed every service by singing Lean On Me, and they would all put their hands on each other, and they would sway and sing Lean On Me. And they said the reason they did that was because they knew the vision and the dream that they had was so much bigger than them that they couldn't do it without each other, that we need each other. And I thought, wow, that was so cool, and I'm watching that, and God's like, I want you to do that at the end of Journey Church. So you know what? We're going to do that today. We're going to sing some Lean On Me. Amen. So this is what I want us to do. I want us to get close. And I tried to find a YouTube video that has the lyrics. And I was going to go Bill Withers up on this place. But Glee actually has a really cool version of Lean On Me. And so we're going to be Gleeks today. So come on. Let's come across the aisles. All right. Let's hope you had your degree all-in moment here today. Amen. But put your arm around the person that's next to you. Amen. And this is what we're going to do. Come on, let's everybody connect together. Make your time. Are you ready, JJ? Let's do this, brother. I want us, if we would, we're going to sing. All right, let's start swaying. Seriously, they swayed in the video. We need to sway here in reality. This is a moment right here, amen?
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. Words will come on, don't worry. Here we go. Let's sing it together here.
Sometimes in our lives,
how many know this is true?
We all have pain. We all have sorrow. But if we
are, oh, this is good right here.
We know that there's always tomorrow.
Come on, let's sing it out.
Lean on me when you're not strong. And I'll be your
friend. I want you to look at your neighbor right now and sing it.
I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on.
Please
follow your pride. If I have things you need to borrow.
Oh, this is good right here.
No one can feel.
We got to open up.
Both of your knees.
That you won't let show me.
Just call me brother.
Or sister.
When you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. I just might have a problem that you understand. We all need somebody.
Come on.
Lean on me when you're not strong. I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry.
You're not alone today.
For it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. When you need a hand, we all need somebody to lean on. That you understand. We all need somebody.
Come on, let's give a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Amen. You're not alone. And this is it. This is a dismissal. I want you to find three or four people before you go. Give them a meaningful hug, right? And I want you to tell them, you can lean on me. Amen. God bless you, Journey Church. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday. Amen.